Carnation Evaporated Milk presents John Lund on Stars Over Hollywood.
Listen, honey, I know your dad's chief of police, but he thinks a cop like me is a machine, that's all. If I want to get a little publicity, who's getting hurt?
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood presents in person the world's best-known stars, actors you've seen in motion pictures and heard on radio, such famous names as Joan Crawford, Vincent Price, and Jan Sterling. Today, Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, brings you transcribed a star who is currently being seen in the Universal International production Just Across the Street. John Lund, the story, Esprit de Corps. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Many homemakers will be glad to know that in countless recipes, the key to richer, more flavorful results is double-rich Carnation evaporated milk. Undiluted, Carnation can be used just like cream. Mixed with an equal amount of water, Carnation gives you milk that's actually richer than any state standard for bottled milk. What's more, Carnation is heat refined. That means smoother blending, creamier consistency in recipes. Yes, and Carnation can save you dollars on your milk bill, too. So why not cook better at less cost? Next time, get Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. The milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of Esprit de Corps, starring John Lund in the role of Greg Taylor. Curtain going up. Greg Taylor wasn't the kind of a detective you see in the movies, with a glamorous secretary and a tongue rubbed down each morning with a joke book. Greg Taylor was a member of the city's police force. And a good time to pick up our story is the night Greg came to take his heartbeat, Amy Cobb, to a picture show. First thing Greg spied as Amy walked him into her living room was a copy of the evening paper with his face staring back at him from the front page. Jokingly, Greg picked up the paper and said,
"Well, I see your future husband made page one again."
"Uh-huh."
"That was a nice, unenthusiastic response. What's with you?"
Nothing.
Now, look, Amy, don't try to sell me that. Something's wrong. Now, what is it?"
"Well, I guess you know well enough."
"Oh, you mean this picture, huh? Yeah, you're right. Doesn't look so hot at that. I guess I'll have to hustle me up a new photographer."
"That's all you need."
"Now, wait a second, Amy. I happened to recover a diamond ring that was stolen, and the papers wrote it up. Now, what's wrong with that?"
"Other men on the force recover a lot more than diamond rings every day in the week. And don't rate even a mention on page 12.
"Oh, I get it. Your father doesn't like the fact that I'm getting more publicity than he is, huh?"
"Well, that's not it at all, Greg."
"Oh, stop it, Amy. Your father's had the knife out for me ever since he took over as chief of police. And why? Simply because I'm not one of his boys. Because I happened to come in under Bob Hannon, the man he succeeded."
"Well, that has nothing to do with it."
"Your father doesn't like me, Amy, let's face it."
"Well, that's not true."
"He'd still like to see me off the force."
"He's never even intimated such a thing to me, Greg."
"But he said plenty about this picture, didn't he?"
"Well,
he asked you to speak to me about it?"
"No, he didn't ask me to, Greg. He just said he wished I would."
"Why didn't he speak to me himself?"
"Well, because he thought it would save both of you a lot of embarrassment. After all, you're going to be his son-in-law someday."
"Not if he has anything to say about it."
"Well, he doesn't have anything to say about it. Dad just doesn't believe that a man who's out for personal glory is good for the department."
"Yeah, the old esprit de corps baloney."
"It isn't baloney. Greg, what you're doing causes dissatisfaction among the other men. Getting a lot of ridiculous publicity for every little thing you do.
Nobody's stopping the other guys in the department from doing the same thing.
That's precisely the point. What kind of a department would Dad have? What kind of a police department would the city have if every member of it thought of nothing but headlines?
I never heard any complaints from Bob Hannon on that score.
Because he wasn't running the department the way Dad's trying to run it.
Oh, I suppose you believe all those stories about Hannon.
Well, he did resign in the face of an investigation.
Because he took sick.
Very conveniently, if you ask me.
You sound like your father talking now. Hannon took me away from pounding a beat, made me a detective. In my book, that makes him okay.
Darling, I'm not interested in Bob Hannon. All I'm concerned about is you.
Well, don't worry about me.
But I am. Because if you don't stop this getting in the newspapers, exploiting every little thing you do, Dad's going to have to call you on the carpet.
Oh, I'm shivering.
Well, you might find yourself shivering one of these dark, cold nights.
What do you mean by that, Crack?
Well, I mean Dad might have to send you back to pounding a beat.
Are you kidding? Oh, he wouldn't dare. The newspapers and public opinion would laugh him right out of office. You seem to forget he doesn't have the last say in the department. There's a gent called the commissioner who appointed your father.
I got news for you, my love. The commissioner is behind Dad 100%.
Says who? Your father, I suppose.
Yes, my father.
I bet nothing we see in the movies tonight will be as funny as that line.
Greg, seriously, please listen to me. You're causing an awful lot of dissension. I don't want my future husband out of a job.
Now, don't you worry. He won't be. Your husband will be on the police force a long time after your father has turned in his shield.
Okay, darling. But don't say I didn't try to warn you.
So Amy and I went to the movies. And almost as if somebody was writing the book, halfway through the feature, didn't some guy jimmy open the popcorn machine in the back of the theater and try to help himself to the loot in the coin box? The minute I heard the usher cry out, I left Amy sitting there and sprinted to the back of the house, and darn if the guy didn't run right smack into my arms. Next morning, on the front page of my favorite tabloid, was a picture of me holding the thief. Over the picture was the caption, "Colorful Detective Makes News Again." The next time I saw the picture, it was laying on the desk in Police Chief Sam Cobb's office at headquarters.
Greg, I'd hoped it wouldn't come to this. I'd hoped Amy could put the bug in your ear and make you call a halt. But I see it didn't work out that way.
But Amy was with me last night, Chief. She can tell you I didn't lift a finger to get my picture in the paper.
At this stage of the game, you wouldn't have to, Greg.
What do you mean?
I mean it's got all out of hand. Everything you do, from slapping a tag on a car to solving a crime, is news.
That's bad?
For you, no. For the department, yes. And, unfortunately, the department's a lot more important than you are.
Am I supposed to beat off the press with a club?
No, Greg, you're not supposed to do a thing. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to put you back in uniform.
But is it my fault because the papers like to write about me?
This thing smacks too much of the Hannon regime that you were a part of, Greg, and the only way to stop it is to put you out of circulation for a while.
Okay. You're the boss.
I'm not doing it to prove who's boss, Greg. I'm doing it because the police department has to function as a complete unit if it's to be successful.
So I've got to dig my old blues out of the closet and hope they still fit.
And I hope they will. Only trouble you might find is squeezing into the same old cap size.
That'll be all, sir?
Yes. Starting tomorrow, you'll report to Captain Neary, Precinct 77.
77?
Yes.
Well, that's way out in the sticks.
Yes, Greg. Nice and quiet out there. But I do hope you'll find something there that you never found working here at headquarters.
And that is?
That being a cop is a great deal more than just wearing a shield and getting your name in the papers.
Been a long time since I had spaghetti, Greg.
Yeah, I know. Besides, I thought it'd be better if we met here tonight instead of at your place. Save your father and me a lot of embarrassment meeting again.
Darling, I told you last night what would happen when you let those photographers take your picture in the theater. Tried to warn you.
Maybe you should have warned your father.
Greg, you're just deluding yourself by thinking you're bigger than the police force.
I suppose you mean your father.
He's representing it. Oh, Greg, please try to understand his side of it. He has a lot of men under him. He has to keep them all in line.
I understand only one thing. He's trying to railroad me.
Railroad you?
Yes, by burying me out in the sticks, trying to kill me as far as ever getting any place in the department's concerned.
I can't believe that.
Well, it's true. He's not going to be satisfied until he has me off the force and has you and me split wide apart. But we'll just see you as the last jock.
I can't bear to see you like this, Greg. You're so bitter.
I'm sorry, Amy. That's how it is.
I'm sorry, too. Terribly sorry. Greg, darling, I love you. And I'll go right on loving you. Until I die, I guess. But I can't go on seeing you, knowing how you feel about my father.
Well, that's just dandy. He's finally had his wish. He's finally succeeded in breaking us up.
No, Greg, he hasn't done anything of the kind. I'll come back to you the moment you get some of the hate out of your heart. Because until you do, well, it couldn't do anything but crowd out every bit of love you might have in there. So, Greg, I guess this is goodbye.
Amy.
It's no use arguing. I told you I love you with all my heart. And I'm going to pray night and day that you get over this feeling you have. Very fast.
So I dug my old uniform out of the mothballs and reported to Captain Neary at Precinct 77. And the good captain really hurled the book at me. Assigned me to a night beat that would have made a fine stamping ground for a shy hermit. It included a cemetery, a patch of thick woods, and a deserted stretch along the waterfront. The next night, before reporting for duty, as I walked into Luigi's restaurant for dinner, Charlie Wright called me over to his table. Charlie wrote for the Morning Globe.
Hey, grab yourself a chair. Sit down, Greg.
Oh, thanks.
So, where you been keeping yourself, Greg? You know, the front page had been mighty cold without you. Hey, what are you doing back in uniform?
You mean you haven't heard I was busted?
You're joking.
You wouldn't think so if you saw the beat I had to patrol. Big enough for three guys. Why, if anything happened at one point and I was at another end of the beat, it'd take me till the next night to even find out about it.
You're not going to tell me you were busted just because you belong to Bob Hahn's regime.
What else?
You mean the father of the girl you're engaged to marry actually stuck a knife in you?
Because he doesn't want to be my father-in-law.
Oh, wow, what a story.
Now, wait a minute, just a second, Charlie. I don't know whether you ought to print what I just told you.
Well, why not? If the new chief of police is dragging a personal grudge into his job, the public ought to know about it. And the commissioner ought to hear about it, too.
Oh, maybe. But I still wish you'd hold off a while, huh?
Okay, pal. Your story.
Morning, Commissioner. Patrolman Greg Taylor reporting, sir.
No doubt you've seen this morning's Globe.
The Globe? Why, yes, sir. I glanced to it.
Oh, you only glance through it. Well, then, let me read it to you more carefully. Glamour Cop tells all. Former Detective Greg Taylor gives bare facts on why he was demoted to patrolman by new Police Chief Sam Cobb. Petty jealousy and personal grudge more important than good work, Taylor claims. Says citizens have inadequate protection in suburbs.
Charlie Ryder wrote that article distorted the things I told him.
Oh, then you admit you said these things.
Well, not the way you made him appear in his paper. I just told him a few little personal opinions I had, strictly in confidence. He promised me he wouldn't write them. He double-crossed me.
The fact remains that you did tell him these things.
But not the way you made him appear.
But you did gripe about Sam Cobb and favoritism in the department?
Well, yes, sir. In a way, I suppose you could say I did.
Taylor, I'm going to be brief.
Yes, sir?
I appointed Sam Cobb to succeed Chief Hannon because I thought he was the best man in the department to handle the job.
Oh, I'm sure you did, sir.
Now, I realize you're a Hannon man. I appreciate that you feel you owe him a certain loyalty because he promoted you to the rank of detective. But Chief Hannon is no longer a member of the police department.
Yeah, I know that, Commissioner.
But do you know that the request for his resignation came from this office? From me?
Why, no, sir. I didn't.
I didn't think you did. Not many people do. For the same token, Taylor, the appointment of Sam Cobb came from this office, too. I personally made the appointment. I thought he was the best man then. I believe he's the best man now.
Yes, sir.
This scandalous story of yours is very unfortunate. It's not only a malicious lie, it casts a very nasty reflection on Chief Cobb and on this office.
I assure you, Commissioner, I never intended that.
Well, it's done. And if it wasn't for the fact that it would make this office look even more petty, I would demand your resignation right now. As it is, I'm sending you back to your precinct. On probation.
Probation?
Yes. One more unfavorable report on you or one more story like this in the Morning Globe and you'll be off the force. And I'm not too sure it wouldn't be a good thing for everyone concerned. That's all, Taylor.
Okay, sir. You're the boss.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, Esprit de Corps, starring John Lund, and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, here is Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake, to give us the inside and the outside story on how to make better cakes with Carnation Evaporated Milk.
Let's start inside and work out, shall we, Art?
You call it, Mary. You're the expert.
Well, here's the first thing to remember. In any cake, whether you use a packaged mix or your own cake recipe, instead of ordinary milk, use a mixture of two parts Carnation evaporated milk and one part water.
We'd better repeat that, Mary, so that no one misses it. In any cake, whether a mix or your own recipe, use a mixture of two parts Carnation evaporated milk and one part water. Now, Mary, just exactly what results can women expect by using Carnation in this way instead of bottled milk?
First of all, Art, when you mix Carnation 2-to-1 with water, you get a milk that's far richer in milk solids and butter fat. Besides that, Carnation is specially heat refined, making Carnation better for baking than any other form of milk. So, all in all, you'll get a lighter cake, a higher cake, a richer cake when you use Carnation. As for the outside story, see the September 22nd issue of Life magazine for Carnation Whipped Butterscotch Icing, a recipe that's guaranteed to put your cake in a class by itself.
Thanks, Mary Blake, for letting us in on another Carnation baking miracle, not possible with any other form of milk. Ladies, next time, for better cooking and baking, stock up on double-rich, heat-refined Carnation, the milk that whips. We return now to the second act of Esprit de Corps, starring John Lund in the role of Greg Taylor. Detective Greg Taylor's love of publicity has led him to a demotion by his future father-in-law, the chief of police, and banishment to a remote precinct. That night, about 12 o'clock, still smarting under the sting of the police commissioner's words, Patrolman Taylor walked past the desolate stretch of a cemetery on his beat, when suddenly a car pulled into the curb, a head poked from inside the car, and a voice said,
"Kind of a cold night to be parading alongside a cemetery, pal."
A lot of guys on the other side of this fence wouldn't mind changing places with me.
I didn't think you'd be in a mood for gags after what you took from the commissioner today.
How did you know I saw the commissioner?
Maybe I'm smart. Maybe you're smart too, huh? Too smart to pound a beat like this one for a cop's lousy salary?
Am I complaining?
Well, that blast in this morning's Globe wasn't exactly a happy song.
Look, Mac, what do you want? Who are you?
Ever hear of Dirk Margo?
Sure. I saw pictures of him in the Rogues Gallery, too.
Well, step over closer in the light. You'll see him in the flesh.
Okay, Dirk. What do you want?
Come on in the front seat here. It's nice and warm. I've got the heater on.
I'm satisfied right where I am. Start talking.
All right. You know you're smack up against a brick wall as far as the department's concerned, don't you?
Am I?
Oh, sure you are, pal. Any cop who throws mud in the commissioner's face, he can expect to pound a graveyard beat for the rest of his life.
So?
Well, I've got a few helpful hints.
Huh. I can imagine who they'll help.
All right, I'm not going to lie to you, Taylor. I'm looking out for number one. And from what I've been reading about you these past months, you sort of like that number yourself.
You're still doing a lot of double talk.
It could add up to some awful nice figures.
Such as?
Say $10,000 as a starter. 25 G's after you get warmed up. And enough to retire on inside of a year.
Aren't you forgetting that I still wear a cop's uniform, Margot?
Oh, no. No. Because I hear tell that none of that blue ever washes off and poisons your blood.
You heard it from who?
Oh, little birds. Used to pick up some seed now and then from the Bob Hannon mob. You were a Hannon boy, Taylor.
I never knew he was mixed up with anybody like you.
Oh, he wasn't asked to hand in his resignation because he was good to his mother.
So?
So? You can do me some good. I can do you some good.
What kind of good?
You can be looking the other way tomorrow night when a little boat pulls up to that wharf there and dumps some stuff that'll be picked up by a black limousine.
What kind of stuff?
Just contraband, jewelry, furs. Of course, the job could be pulled without your cooperation, but we ain't greedy. Live and let live is our motto. And besides, why take unnecessary chances if we can find the right guy who'll play ball?
How do you know I won't double-cross you and turn you in?
I'll know, sweetheart. Same as I knew you saw the commissioner this morning. I got little birds planted everywhere. And just between us, turning us in wouldn't get you a thing except a hole in your head. A bullet hole, that is.
Wouldn't be much satisfaction for you behind bars.
Oh, no, not me, chum. I never go out in any job. I'm just the guy that oils and spins the wheels.
Nothing to stop me from grabbing you right now.
Nothing but a guy sitting in a car parked right down the street behind me with his lights off, holding a high-powered rifle that's aimed at a spot just about a quarter of an inch below the shiny black visor of your cap. You see it?
Yeah. Yeah, I see it. You got it all figured out, haven't you?
We've been in business long enough to play it careful, Taylor. Well, think it over, pal. If the answer is yes, when you get home to your apartment after tomorrow night's tour, there'll be an envelope waiting for you. And in it'll be $10,000. Unmarked bills. Like I said, that's only a starter. You've got Dirk Margo's personal guarantee inside of 1 year you can retire. Because we can use a guy like you in the organization.
But how will you know whether or not I accept?
If you do, just stay away from the river tomorrow night. After all, like you said in the papers, you've got an awful big beat to look after.
After Dirk Margot was gone, I stood there in the darkness for a long time. What an opportunity he just laid in my lap, giving me a chance to get my second win. Chance to give Sam Cobb, the commissioner, and everybody else in the department the old horse laugh. It was a good 7:30 the next morning before I got home and into bed. But I couldn't sleep, not with a problem like that hammering away at my brain. So I got up and dressed. At 10:30 that same morning...
Commissioner, Patrolman Greg Taylor has something important to say to you.
Okay, Taylor, go ahead.
Last night while I was patrolling my beat, I was approached by... by Dirk Margot.
Margot, eh? What do you want?
He offered me $10,000 to look the other way while he unloaded some stuff off a little boat down by the river.
What did you tell him?
Nothing. But I guess by the way I didn't say anything, he figured I'm in.
Kind of a risky business, double-crossing somebody like that, Dick Margot, Taylor. Even for a cop.
Yeah, I know, Commissioner. He promised me a bullet hole in the back of my cap.
And in spite of this, you still came here and told us these things.
Yes, sir.
Why, Taylor? I'm curious to know why you did this.
I don't know, Commissioner. Unless some of the blue from my uniform got into my blood after all. Made me more of a cop than I thought I was. All I do know is that I couldn't throw in with Margot's kind. Not ever. I say something funny?
Not at all, Taylor.
You're both smiling.
Maybe you'd better tell him, Sam.
Tell me what?
We're smiling, Greg, because we knew that Dirk Margo buttonholed you last night, what he wanted you to do, and how much he offered you to do it.
You're kidding.
No, Greg. We've had Dirk Margo followed for weeks now, trying to get a lead on his contacts, and right after he left you last night, we nabbed him. He told us the whole story.
Well, why didn't you tell me you knew? Why did you let me go on talking my fool head off?
That was Sam's idea, Taylor. He wanted to prove to me that you'd come through when the chips were down. So we gave you the chance.
You'll never know how glad I am you didn't let me down, Greg, and I have an idea Amy will be pretty happy, too. In fact, I think it's a good idea if you have dinner with us tonight and let her tell you how glad she is.
Dinner tonight? Are you forgetting? I got an all-night tour to cover.
Oh, I forgot to tell you about that, Taylor. I'm calling Captain Neary and telling him not to expect you back at Precinct 77. You're being transferred back to the Detective Bureau as of right now.
Oh, well. Thanks, Commissioner. I don't know what to say.
Well, whatever you say, Greg, please don't say it to any newspapers.
Oh, that's for sure.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of Esprit de Corps, this week's Stars Over Hollywood show, as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring John Lund. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, what do you say to a curtain call, John Lund?
Oh, it's fine with me, Art. It's been wonderful being here again.
Well, our pleasure too, John. A swell performance. Right now, how about a cup of coffee?
Oh, great. You mean you serve it right here on the stage?
Sure. We pour a little coffee every now and then on Stars Over Hollywood just to prove a point.
And what's that?
Simply that coffee, no matter how good, will always taste better when you cream it with Carnation evaporated milk. Here's a cup for you, John, already creamed with Carnation. See how you like it.
Oh, thanks. It's delicious.
You know, somehow Carnation seems to bring out more of the full, rich, true coffee flavor. After all, Carnation is more than double rich and is actually heavy enough to whip. Why, do you know that millions of coffee lovers prefer Carnation to cream in their coffee? It's a fact. Besides, it costs less than half as much as cream. At any rate, you can see for yourself that in order to get the most satisfaction from a good cup of coffee, there's nothing like creaming it with Carnation, the milk that whips. And, John, here's a bouquet of red and white carnations to take home to your lovely wife. They're just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk. And thanks again for your fine performance.
Oh, thank you, Art, and goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, John Lund. Next Saturday, Stars Over Hollywood will present Miss Jan Sterling in an intriguing play titled A Sail to Samarkand. And now, here's Miss Sterling.
Don't forget, Mr. Everidge, I'm just a public stenographer. And if you think I'd accept a dinner invitation from a client, you're absolutely right.
Thank you, Jan Sterling. I'm sure everyone will be here next week to hear you in this romantic play. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood presentation was written by Martin Ryerson. Supporting Mr. Lund were Gene Bates, Griff Barnett, Larry Dobkin, and Ken Christie. Music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. And the program was directed and transcribed by Don Clark. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger. suggesting that you be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show, brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Tune in every Saturday and hear the world's greatest motion picture stars in person on Stars Over Hollywood. Next Saturday, we're proud to present Jan Sterling in A Sail to Samarkand. Stay tuned now to hear Fun for All, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
This is the CBS Radio Network.